This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't get distracted. We all get distracted. Don't let it happen to yourself. We'll talk about that tonight. We have Sarah Gonzalez and Ned Ryan, Carol Roth. All that's coming up on I'm Right. Distractions. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to deal with distractions. It's hard to even know what the distractions are, especially when you're surrounded by them in life. Do you ever get distracted by things? Of course you do. We all do. And I'll tell you something we all get distracted by. I do, you do, everyone does, because it's human nature. We get distracted by the new flashy news story. It's kind of sexy and interesting. The one everyone's talking about. And I mean everyone. Left-wing news sites, right-wing news sites. You go on social media, everyone's talking about what? The new flashy story out there. For the past 48 hours, 72 hours, how many places have you heard talking about Trump meeting with this guy or Trump meeting with that girl? What happened? Who did Trump have dinner with and why? Man, maybe you've even talked about it with your friends. Hey, did you see this? Maybe you got an argument about it on social media. I guarantee you turned on every single television. That's what they're talking about. You pull up the Washington Post, New York Times. It's the top headline. And you assume, because it's human nature, it's what goes into your eyes, it's what goes into your ears, that this is a really big deal, and man, we all gotta tackle this issue. There are gigantic, evil, scary things happening on this planet. And there's one thing I have learned without a doubt. Whatever everyone is talking about at any given moment is probably the least important thing you can be talking about, or I can be talking about. I fall into this trap, you fall into this trap. This is done on purpose. They have us all. Hey, look at this shiny object over here. There's a shiny object. Don't look over here. Don't look over here. To pay attention over here. This is done on purpose. And we have to be constantly vigilant with ourselves that, wait a minute, if I turn on five different news channels and they're all talking about the same thing, I better not fall into the trap of talking about that same thing. I better realize there are other things I need to be worried about. There is something, a gigantic concept, that is very, very difficult for normal people to understand and accept. Very, very difficult. It won't be difficult for you, so I'm not talking about you, but your neighbor, your cousin, your brother, father, maybe the Republicans, probably are. You vote in every election. They don't understand. They may never understand, but they don't now currently understand that there are people who lead the West, virtually all of the Western leaders, business leaders, social media, politicians, entertainers, all of them, the leaders of the West, they're not kind of biased. They're not Democrat. He leans left. They are plotting the destruction of Western civilization. It's their whole goal, to loot Western civilization as they destroy it. Now, when you say that, if you were to say something like that to your neighbor, your Republican neighbor, what would he do? He'd probably go, oh gosh, here we go again. Take off the tinfoil hat. But it's true. And there's unlimited amounts of video evidence out there right in everyone's face that it's true. You see, Western leaders, all of them, from I'm not just talking about America, although we can focus on that for a brief moment, all of them, they despise you. And they despise you for a reason. They despise you because you cling to your freedoms. They think your freedoms in the West are not something that it's their job to guard, right? Like they used to. Western leaders used to view themselves as the knights guarding freedom. Now, Western leaders view your freedoms, your love of your freedoms, as being such a hindrance. It holds everything back. They have these brilliant designs on what they want the world to look like. And if you, peasant, would stop clinging to those stupid freedoms, then they would be able to rule as the kings and queens they see themselves as and control everything and make the world a better place. Now, again, you say that to your mom. She votes Republican. She got a Trump flag in the yard. You say something like that to your mom, that's probably just too much for her to handle. Oh, I'll be serious. Oh, honey, to get off the internet. But it's true. In fact, they tell you all the time. I want you to watch this little video of Joe Biden. Maybe you've already seen it, by the way. This little video of Joe Biden talking about guns. Short little video, and it revealed so much. Watch and pay attention.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. It's just sick. It has no social redeeming value. Zero. None. Not a single solitary rationale for...
Okay, maybe you've already seen that video, probably have, or at least you heard the audio of it, and maybe you rolled your eyes and said, oh, here we go, Democrats, gun grabbing again, probably going to try to pass a gun bill. If that was your first thought, it's not that you're wrong, you're right, but you missed the important part of it. We still allow? That's not a king. That's not dictator Joe Biden. That's the President of the United States of America, a man charged with executing the laws of the nation. The Second Amendment's pretty clear, but Joe Biden doesn't look at anything in that way. And I'm not just singling him out. It's everyone in his administration. As I said, it's media, it's entertainment, it's all of them. You see, they are the kings and the queens, and they're just disgusted by you and your guns. I can't believe we allow these peasants to keep their guns. Don't we know they could rise up at any time? We still allow. And in case you're thinking, man, Jesse, you're being a little bit too over the top. It's not like these people really see themselves as kings and queens. I could argue, you know what? You're actually correct, somewhat. Sometimes they don't see themselves as kings and queens. Oftentimes they see themselves as God.
They didn't say 200 years. To give a conservative estimate, there won't be Homo sapiens on planet Earth. It's not that we'll destroy ourselves in some calamity. Much more likely, we will use advanced technology, biotechnology, nanotechnology, direct brain-computer interfaces to upgrade Homo sapiens into different kinds of beings, beings which are different from us, much more than we are different from Neanderthals. Beings which will have different bodies, different minds, different brains. So I think we are heading towards the upgrading of Homo sapiens into gods. The future of life belongs to intelligent design, but the intelligent designers will not be some gods above the clouds. We are going to be the intelligent designers of the future of life in the universe.
Jesse, who's that? I never even heard of that person. That guy's name is Dr. Yuval Noah. He is a major person within the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum is masterminding so much of this. The World Economic Forum, if that guy right there, if he picked up his phone right now and called Joe Biden would answer. If that guy picked up his phone and called the leaders of China, Germany, Spain, Venezuela, virtually any world leader, if he picked up the phone and called right now, they would answer. That's not just some internet quack. That guy has the ear of the leaders of Western civilization. That's just him. Maybe you think I just cherry-picked something. So let's go to the head of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
What does that look like? Huh? Fusion of our identities. And how are they going to do something like that? I know what you're probably thinking, Jesse. Don't be some lunatic. It's not like these people have a plan to put a chip in your brain and track you and control your mind.
Can you imagine that in 10 years when we are sitting here, we have an implant in our brains and I can immediately feel, because you all will have implants, I can, and we measure your brain waves, and I can immediately tell you how the people react, or I can feel how the people react to your answers. Is it imaginable?
There are much bigger things happening in the world than whatever you're going to see on the nightly news tonight. When you turn on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox News, even. When you turn on anything, when you look at your latest website about the newest hit. What did Trump say? What did Trump do? What did Joe Biden say? What's the newest this? What's the newest that? They're all distractions. They're distractions. There are gigantic, evil, scary things happening in this planet. Don't let yourself get distracted. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. And we're going to talk to Sarah Gonzalez about some dark things that are going on with children in our society. Before we get to Sarah Gonzalez, let's get to something good. Last week, I had to go back to Ohio. Got to go back to Ohio, hang out with my in-laws. It was for Thanksgiving, big family get-together, cousins, aunts, uncles, everything got together. And I was actually talking to my father-in-law about my Grip 6 wallet. I had to pull it out. We were buying pizza someplace. And I said, I got it this time. And I pulled it out. And I was showing him off my wallet that holds the cards. You know, I've told you these great Grip 6 wallets. The cards don't come out until you squeeze it. And then they pop out. It's the greatest freaking thing ever. They have really cool new designs there, by the way. And you can design your own. You can design your own. You can put your picture on it. I'm totally doing that, by the way. But yes, they had the coolest designs ever. It's Christmas time. But my father-in-law was telling me about the belts. If you go to grip6.com and you check out the belts, you'll see that they're great designs, right? They look really cool. What you don't see is how adjustable and comfortable the belts are. They have the best belts. They have the best, oh, their socks are amazing. Belts, socks, and the coolest freaking wallets ever. And they have a sale right now. After all, it's Christmas time. Grip6.com, promo code Jesse, saves you a ton of money. Grip6.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB. In the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
What is going on with Balenciaga? I don't know. I went to community college. I can't even say the word. But you can't turn on any news site or social media without seeing some really gross, creepy things that they were apparently advertising. And I don't understand this story, and I'm pretty sure I don't want to, but nevertheless, I'm going to ask Sarah about it. Joining me now, my friend Sarah Gonzalez, host of the Great News and Why It Matters on the Blaze TV. Sarah, first of all, what is, before we even get into the controversy, what is this company? They sell purses or something?
Yeah, Balenciaga. So it's a very, very high-end couture purses, you know, handbags, fashion, so clothing, you name it. They have it, and they clearly, very clearly target you know, the elitists with all of their ads.
Okay, so that's who they are. What did they do? Because I keep seeing these images all over the place of children holding up teddy bears dressed up in the weird leather stuff. What did they do?
Yeah, so they released a Toy Stories campaign that featured a bunch of young children who were holding BDSM teddy bears. So the teddy bears, as you mentioned, look a little strange because they have bondage on them, which is, of course, a sexual fetish that typically adults, consenting adults, would choose to practice. And we, of course, see children holding them. And, you know, the mountain goes much, much deeper because there are more things that have been uncovered, you know, with certain little Easter eggs being put in these photos that just makes it really, really disgusting stuff. But, you know, used to, we could agree with the left. Everyone could agree. There was a general consensus among the public that exposing children to sexual content or exploiting them and putting them in that position where they were advertising sexual content was wrong. Now, all of a sudden, it's controversial, I guess.
Okay, what Easter eggs?
So there was another photo shoot by the same photographer that featured there was just a little copy of a Supreme Court ruling on child porn. And, you know, the deeper you go into one of the Balenciaga main designers, if you go through her Instagram page, she has a bunch of, they call it art, right? It's art. Paintings of young children laying on the ground with their organs spilling out onto the grass. I mean, it gets really, really deep with this, Jesse. This is a really, really disgusting, disturbing group. Hollywood, the fashion industry, they're doing really, really gross things behind the scenes. And unfortunately, they like to just kind of throw in these little Easter eggs and clues to the public, thinking that it's this cute little joke that no one will find out about. And the more you uncover it, the more you realize there's some really, really sick things going on right underneath our noses.
Okay, Sarah, I'm going to ask an opinion, I guess, on this. How deep do we think this rabbit hole goes? And I ask this because if 10 years ago you told me that the elites of society are a bunch of pedophiles that regularly prey on children in the most despicable ways, and they do so in private, and this is a rampant thing, I would have rolled my eyes at you and said, oh, come on, be serious. Take the tinfoil off your head. Now it's looking like that might be the case. How deep do we think this rabbit hole goes?
Well, I mean, Jesse, I think you have to look no further than the Jeffrey Epstein scandal, right? I mean, Ghislaine Maxwell was actually sentenced for a crime, for sex trafficking of young children. We still don't know. We have not been able to see who all of these clients were that Jeffrey Epstein was bringing onto this island. So these are things, as you pointed out, that people called conspiracy theory. There was no merit to it. Those are just, you know, those cases were dismissed, what have you. That's not true. Now we actually have it on record that these types of things have been happening for a very, very long time. But unfortunately, we know that if you are in that position of power, even if people, you know, go down for these crimes, you may not find out what the actual crimes were and who were committing those crimes because you still have people who will cover for you. So I think it goes very deep. I think you can also look no further than Kim Kardashian, who apparently is willing to sell her soul to the devil, quite literally, I would say, when she announced that she would just be reassessing and reevaluating whether or not she wanted to be a spokesperson for Balenciaga. Reevaluating. She's not sure yet if she wants to continue that as a mother.
Okay. All right, and well, that brings me perfectly into this. The whole child drag thing, as you mentioned, it was like 15 minutes ago, we all kind of agreed, leave kids alone. Yet this is something that is happening. I mean, honestly, look at how despicable that is. This is something that didn't happen once, Sarah. This appears to be happening all the time, that there are naked men, women, I don't even know what you consider these people to be, dancing in their underwear, children out there, in some cases, putting dollar bills in the underwear like it's a bachelorette party at Cheetah's in Las Vegas. Where does this stop?
Well, I mean, I think that it stops with us. I think that it stops with the parents of these communities. I think that we have to get active. I think that the reason that we are in this position in the first place is because the left has been so good at getting active, right? They have trained their activists. They have gone out into the communities. They have infiltrated in the communities. They've infiltrated in the medical community, especially. They've infiltrated in academia. And now we are left with all of these people trying to teach our children about sex, about gender, and about all of these other radical concepts that they are not ready for. And I think until parents and sane people in the community realize that there is power in numbers and they can't cancel all of us, but we all agree everyone is too quiet and scared to speak up and say something, the time is now. We've let them take our culture into the gutter for far too long, and we've got to start showing up at school board meetings. We've got to start showing up at these events. I encourage everyone to join my organization that I've started, Defend Our Kids Texas, where we are fighting back on this at a local level because, you know, the left has caused some civil disruptions and gotten their way. I think it's about darn time that we do the same.
Okay. Is that all parents? Because right now there are a bunch of parents watching this and they're sick and they want this to stop. Is that what parents can do? Just show up and be activists? Should they be running for office? What parents right now want to do something. What can they do, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, yes, I think that being an activist also does require someone to say, you know what, I'm going to run for office. Because as I mentioned, that is exactly what the left has been doing in all of these school boards, right? They have infiltrated because they have taken their activists and they have put them up and run them for a campaign and they have won. We need to be doing the same thing. We need to be attacking this on all fronts. They need to be showing up at the school board meetings. I can't tell you how many times I have shown up to these events as they're taking place and to these school board meetings and to these city council meetings, and I have seen no one. Everyone is willing to watch a video and agree, yes, this is wrong and we have to stop it. But people have to take the time. I know everyone's pressed for time, Jesse, but there's nothing more important than protecting our children and protecting their innocence. And we have to make the time to actually show up, to push back on these school boards, to push back on these city councils, to push back on these restaurant owners and venue owners and people who are participating in this, and tell them that there are going to be severe societal consequences to continuing to indoctrinate and sexually indoctrinate children into this radical ideology.
Sarah Gonzalez, The News and Why It Matters. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. Ballot harvesting. What is it? Should we even care? Talk to Ned Ryan about it next. Before we get to that, I want to get to this. In Houston today, woke up and there was a notification all over the news, all the kinds of social media messages that you're not supposed to drink the water. Not supposed to drink the water, what? There was some sort of a power outage, and now the water is, for the time being, unsafe to drink here unless you boil it first. This is the fourth or fifth most populated city in the United States of America. It always flips back and forth between Houston and Phoenix. Why would I bring up something like this? We don't realize how vulnerable we are. We don't realize that we're on the verge of running out of diesel fuel in the country. We don't realize that even your major metropolitan area is one Chinese or Russian hack job away from the power grid going down for a day, for a week. I don't know. Are you ready? If you show up at your grocery store and the doors are locked because no trucks could get through and the shelves are empty, are you ready? Do you have 3 months worth of food for every person who lives in your home? If you don't, you dang well sure should. My Patriot Supply has it for you. They're already ready to go. You don't have to worry about, should I buy the beans or the rice or the, I used to do this all the time. That's why I know what you go through. I don't know what to, should I get extra granola bars? I never knew. I don't have to think about it. I go to mypatriotsupply.com. They have emergency 3 month food kits, $250 off right now. MyPatriotSupply.com. Be ready. We'll be back. Presidential election 2024. Who's your candidate? Who's your nominee? You going for Trump? Maybe you're a heavy D guy? And then we got to take down Biden, right? If he's the one who runs, we'll take down Gavin Newsom. That's all that matters. Let's win the presidency in 2024. That's what we're all talking about it. What if none of that matters, though? I read a great piece in American Greatness. Here's a quote. American politics has entered a new age. All that has gone before, polls, historical trends, message issues, candidate quality, traditional get-out-the-vote efforts, candidate debates, voter persuasion means almost nothing, and it's extremely insignificant. The thing, the only thing that truly matters now is the ballots out, ballots in machine. What? What's any of that mean? Joining me now, my friend, CEO of American Majority, Ned Ryan. Ned, somebody wrote this piece in American Greatness. Who was it? What's he talking about?
That would be me, Jesse. And after a couple days of recovering from really pretty high expectations for the midterms and based off what I think was a miscalculation on my part, living in Western Latin Virginia, seeing what we were able to do last year in 2021 and winning everything in a state that Biden won by 10 points in 2020, I realized I was pretty confident, overconfident coming into the midterms, and realized I missed what I think is truly the only thing moving forward. And what Democrats have figured out, it's not about votes, it's about ballots. And how many ballots can you send out and how many ballots can you collect? And that's why I wrote, everything that's come before in many ways has been greatly diminished, almost to the point of really being insignificant, until you figure out how do we send out more ballots, how do we collect more ballots. Everything else means nothing. And as you alluded to in your introduction to this segment, I'm not really sure I care about who the nominee is. I have, you know, somebody that I favor, but I'm not really sure who the nominee is in 2024 if we don't figure this out, because I don't see how a Republican in 2024 can win Michigan or Pennsylvania, really Wisconsin, Minnesota, even Nevada and Arizona, if they don't figure this out. It's a moot point in my mind who the nominee is unless we figure this out.
Okay, Ned, now let's do something here. I need you to pretend like I have the mind of a five-year-old, which is not difficult. People go vote. Most of our people, they go vote on Election Day. I went and voted on Election Day, and I went down, and I walked up to the computer machine and beep, 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 pressed a couple buttons and hit enter, and they printed off my ballot, and I put it in the machine, and I was done. So that's my knowledge of voting. What are you talking about? Ballots, ballots in, ballots out. What's a ballot? What do you mean?
Well, we've got to embrace what's legal, Jesse. Early voting sometimes starts 45 days before the elections. We should not be afraid of mail-in ballots. We should not be afraid of absentee ballot requests. We should not be afraid of ballot harvesting. I bet most people don't know that for all intents and purposes, ballot harvesting is legal in 35 states plus the District of Columbia. Where it's legal, we should use it. And I would remind people, I made this point in the piece at American Greatness. How do you think Republicans have been winning Florida for decades in what until recently was a D-plus registration state with an absolute, you know, significant percentage of mail-in ballots? They figured out how to do early mail-in voting. They figured out how to do absentee ballot chasing. They figured out all of these things to mitigate some of this damage coming into Election Day, so that on Election Day, which Republicans traditionally win by significant margins, they're going in barely behind and then are able to crush Democrats. And so I tell people, embrace the laws that are on the books, whether you like them or not. And I have real problems with a lot of the laws, but a lot of this is legal. Embrace the laws. Let's go for it, because I don't think there's any way that we can win unless we actually embrace this. And I said in the piece, we either adapt or die.
Okay, so how do we begin, Ned? I don't want to lose Arizona and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Nevada, because that means Joe Biden's going to be president for another 4 years, or whatever new communist state put up in place of Joe Biden when they wheel him out the back door of the White House. I don't want that to happen. How do we begin? Where do we begin?
Well, first of all, we have to get past our mental block. I work with the grassroots all the time at American Majority, and there's been a lot of things that you have to get past on this mental block. Well, we don't think ballot harvesting is ethical. No, I don't either, but it's legal. So you got to get past that mental block. So it's an education cycle that we've got to get our base to. The other thing I want to remind people, how do you think the Republicans took the House of Representatives this cycle? Because Republicans figured out how to ballot harvest in California and New York State. They actually realized, if we don't do this, we will not win. We will not be able to win these close House districts. So get past the mental block, embrace it, and understand, I'm sorry, there's no other way that I think, having looked at the numbers, you can win any of these key battleground states for the presidential. And I would argue even for some of these key Senate races in 2024. It's okay. We can adapt. We need to adapt. If we don't, I don't see how we get the White House back anytime soon, if ever.
Okay, how do we chase a ballot? What is that? What do you do to chase a ballot? You have to knock on someone's door, you're making a phone call, you send them a text message. How do you chase a ballot?
So in Florida and a lot of these states, you actually know who's requested absentee ballots. And in Florida, I know because I actually am related to some of the people that have run the absentee ballot program in Florida for multiple cycles. It then becomes a series of mail pieces, phone calls, texts, even door knocks. Hey, we know you've got an absentee ballot. You haven't returned it yet. All of our contacts will stop if you will return your ballot. It literally becomes, we know who has requested a ballot, who's been sent a ballot. And then it becomes, quite frankly, a series of harassments until they actually return their ballot. I know for a fact in Arizona this cycle, there were hundreds of thousands of absentee ballots requested by Republicans that were never returned. And so unless we actually figure out how to have a very highly systematic, metric-driven absentee ballot chase, we're going to leave, I mean, potentially hundreds of thousands of ballots and votes on the table in these key states.
Okay, Ned, the Florida model, let's assume we can get past the mental block, as you pointed out.
Right.
The Florida model, can it work in places like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona? I know every state kind of operates things differently. Is that model transferable? Because 2024 ain't that far away.
Yeah, most of it will, actually. I mean, the thing that I remind people in Florida, Republicans are able to win. There's no ballot harvesting. There's no ballot drop boxes in Florida. Yet everything that they've been able to do with the early mail-in and absentee ballot chase really does apply to pretty much every other state. I couldn't tell you the exact minutia. There might be a few changes here and there, but the basic premise is, again, over a million absentee ballots requested in Arizona by Republican voters, and on election day, hundreds of thousands of them were still missing. So it does apply. We can adapt. We can do it. I know that people are already having serious conversations about how we take that and apply it to really about 10 to 12 states that I think are going to be very key in 2024. But the matter, it has to be an issue of will. Are we going to do it? It has to be an issue of funding. Because when I talk about an absentee ballot chase program in Florida, we're not talking about a couple million dollars. It's millions and millions of dollars. But winning is worth it.
Yeah, it sure is. Ned Ryan, thank you, brother.
All right. Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Business news out there and a lot of it. First of all, this FTX thing isn't going away. It's getting uglier. We're going to talk to Carol Roth about that and other things. It looks like this whole cryptocurrency bubble seems to be popping. Before we get to Carol, let's get to you. Do you know when I live in the Houston area now, and I moved here from Dallas. I lived all over, but I moved here from Dallas. And we found a house online when we were in Dallas, because we were online shopping for homes. We found a house we were in love with. It was perfect. It had the yard we wanted. We're texting each other back and forth. Did you see this picture? We loved it. And I had bought the house before we even got down here. So we get down here, we get with our real estate agent that we'd met down here, show up at the house. She unlocks the door, opened the door. I said, "We can go. I'm out." "What? What's wrong?" The smell of the home, and this was an empty home that had been cleaned, professionally cleaned. The smell was so bad, gone. Your home smells. Eventually, homes smell. You have smells. Your pets have smells. The food you cook has smells. Cigarettes, dirty feet. Homes have smells. Eden Pure Thunderstorm removes the smell from your home. It doesn't cover it up. It's not the weird little potpourri thing in a bowl. It removes it, constantly cleaning out the air. I have 6 of these things now. I keep 3 here in the studio. I keep 3 at my house. Go get yourself a 3-pack of Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Great Christmas gift idea, by the way. Bet no one you know has been thinking about asking for that. They'll thank you after the fact. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse gets you $200 off a 3-pack, plus free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back. I'll never forget when I was hanging out with the neighbors one night, a few months ago. I've told you this story before. All relatively successful people, you know, manages a car dealership, owns his own construction company. There's just normal people, all vote Republican. And I brought up ESG. Not one person at the table, several couples there, not one had any idea what I was even talking about. And I said, are you serious? And when I explained to them that this stuff has infected every financial institution and frankly, most of the other ones too, they all looked at me like I was a nut job until they found the ESG page on their own bank's website. Joining me now, Carol Roth, author of The War on Small Business. Carol, before we get to whatever the Department of Labor did, would you please explain in ways that only Carol Roth can, what is ESG?
Well, first of all, Jesse, I'd like to say that it's nice that you found some friends, so congratulations. There are people that want to hang out with you. I think that's that warms my heart, so I'm appreciative of that. ESG, it stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. And basically, it is a quote-unquote set of criteria, and I put it in quotes because there's not an actual set of criteria. It's malleable based on the whims of the elites. The way they want to control the world and shape the world, and they're trying to push that through businesses. So basically, think of it as business social credit. If you are not complying with them in a series of factors, they're going to give you a negative score. They're going to direct capital away from you. And it may not sound like it's that big of a deal, but it's being pushed at the highest levels by the biggest asset managers in the world, by the Business Roundtable, which is basically the CEOs of all of the major corporations in the US. And it, like you said, if you go to a bank, if you go to a company's website, particularly if they're publicly traded, they're going to tell you that they are in compliance with this whatever magical set of mandates. And so it's really letting a few people shape everything that is going on instead of letting the free market do that.
Now, why, if I'm a Merrill Lynch, why would I sign up for something like this, Carol, when it's not as profitable? I mean, look, I don't care what people believe about the idiocy that is climate change. Oil's more profitable than solar panels. Why would I sign up for this idiocy?
Oh, you think it's not profitable, but this is a brand sparkling new industry, Jesse. And somebody did an analysis in Barron's, and they said there's $40 trillion in capital. $40 trillion, that's twice the GDP of the United States, that's basically at stake here. And that doesn't include the entire profiteering ecosystem, the people who consult on this and, you know, extract fees. So in, for example, the financial services business, they may be selling mutual funds or exchange-traded funds that have low fees, but now they're going to have a quote-unquote ESG fund, and now they can slap that label on. So from their standpoint, there is a sort of scam element, and I'm not talking about any specific financial institution, I'm just talking generally about financial services, but there's sort of the scam fee extraction, rent extraction element to it. But at the highest levels, you know, the BlackRocks of the world, and yes, BlackRock in the United States was the one who really started pushing this in the beginning of 2020, coming out of a lot of work that came from the UN, the World Economic Forum, and others. They want to be able to put their footprint and their power and their control. They control the most assets under management of anyone, so they can basically say, hey, board of directors, you're not doing what it is that we want you to do, and so we're going to say you're not ESG compliant. We're not going to vote for you. We're going to direct capital away from you. I mean, that is corporate fascism.
Okay, so what did the Department of Labor do?
So the one protection that we thought we had is that when people manage your money, including your pension managers, that they had a fiduciary duty to basically do what is best for you and to put your interests and your, particularly your financial interests, ahead of their own interests, which makes sense. They're managing the money, your retirement money. It should be in your financial interest. A proposal was put in through the Biden administration's Department of Labor. It was quietly passed last week during the Thanksgiving week when they thought nobody would notice, that says, yeah, you know what? You don't need to do that if you're considering ESG factors and, you know, other sort of economic factors that we think are okay. And so basically they're telling you that they're no longer pursuing your best financial interests. They are pursuing business social credit at your expense.
It was passed.
But by the way, this needs to be litigated. This was a rule proposed and a Department of Labor rule that they proposed, took comments for, and then pushed out there and finalized this rule. So this, by the way, you're in Congress, you're watching Jesse Kelly here, you need to get on this. You need to be calling your senators and your representatives, and this needs to be litigated. That's the fact that they could put something else, their own set of interests, ahead of your fiduciary duty, ahead of your financial best interest, is insanity. And we are just walking down the path of killing our economic freedom. And this is just one small piece of the puzzle.
Carol, what's a digital dollar?
Talking about, what a good segue about killing economic freedom. So there is another set of policies under the phrase central bank digital currencies, which means that the Federal Reserve or other central bank and government now have complete control over your money. So imagine, Jesse, that you have a dollar bill like we do, and you know, you go out and you buy some tacos with it, and then the person at the taco place pays their employee, and they go out and they buy a hamburger, you know, whatever it is. That's how it circulates throughout the economy. The government might have some general sense of what's going on, but they're not tracking every individual dollar. A digital dollar allows them the ability to do that. It allows them to basically take over, think about putting a chip in your dollar, or them taking over your credit card and tracking everything that you do. And then, oh, by the way, the risk is that then they're going to weaponize that. So they're going to program it and say, well, we really don't want people to be eating hamburgers as much. Jesse, you've eaten too many hamburgers this month. So when you go to pay for your hamburger, they're going to say, I'm sorry, but the Fed's not letting access to your digital dollars because you've exceeded this. So it's tying in social credit and control with the money supply. And oh, by the way, this isn't just, again, some hypothetical idea. The G7 put out 13 principles on a combined basis for this, and the New York Fed is piloting a digital dollar right now with MasterCard, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and I think it's about 9 participants in total. Another thing that we have to stand up and push back against, because, I mean, as the ESG thing's bad, this is the end of the road. They will control everything. If they control the money, they control your livelihood, they can control what you eat, they control you. You own nothing.
Golly. Kill Roth. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Another uplifting segment. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, that was heavy, right? Why don't we lighten the mood with one of the all-time greats? Next. All right. That was heavy, right? A lot of big stuff going on, but at least we didn't get distracted, did we? Focusing on the big things that matter. So I thought it would be an appropriate day to honor one of the greats and kind of stay on topic, George Carlin.
It's worse with every generation. For some reason, it just keeps getting worse. I'll give you an example of that. There's a condition in combat. Most people know about it. It's when a fighting person's nervous system has been stressed to its absolute peak and maximum, can't take any more input. The nervous system has either snapped or is about to snap. In the First World War, that condition was called shell shock. Simple, honest, direct language. Two syllables. Shell shock. Almost sounds like the guns themselves. That was 70 years ago. Then a whole generation went by, and the Second World War came along, and the very same combat condition was called battle fatigue. Four syllables now. Takes a little longer to say. Doesn't seem to hurt as much. Fatigue is a nicer word than shock. Shell shock. Battle fatigue. Then we had the war in Korea, 1950. Madison Avenue was riding high by that time. And the very same combat condition was called operational exhaustion. Hey, we're up to 8 syllables now. And the humanity has been squeezed completely out of the phrase. It's totally sterile now. Operational exhaustion. Sounds like something that might happen to your car. Then, of course, came the war in Vietnam, which has only been over for about 16 or 17 years. And thanks to the lies and deceit surrounding that war, I guess it's no surprise that the very same condition was called post-traumatic stress disorder. Still eight syllables, but we've added a hyphen. And the pain is completely buried under jargon. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I'll bet you, if we'd have still been calling it shell shock, some of those Vietnam veterans might have gotten the attention they needed at the time. I'll bet you that.
What a great one. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.